إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه السلام صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We finished the benefits and the rulings that Shaykh Ibn Sa'di or Ibn Sa'di rahimahullah deduced from the story of Musa and Al-Khidr. And we actually stopped, or we are currently at verse 83. 83, Dhul-Qarnayn. We will start speaking about Dhul-Qarnayn. Verse 83. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال الله عز وجل ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا إنا مكنا له في الأرض وآتيناه من كل شيء سببا فأتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مغرب الشمس وجدها تغرب في عين حمئة ووجد عندها قوما قلنا يا ذا القرنين إما أن تعذب وإما أن تتخذ فيهم حسنا قال أما من ظلم فسوف نعذبه ثم يرد إلى ربه فيعذبه عذابا نكرا وأما من آمن وعمل صالحا فله جزاء الحسنى وسنقول له من أمرنا يسرا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So somebody who's going to be gentle enough to read to us from verse 83 to verse 88 in English, please. 83 to 88. Yalla.
And they asked about you about Dhul-Qarnayn.
Naam.
I shall recite to you something of this story.
Naam.
Verily, we established him in the heart, and we gave him the means of everything. So he followed the way. Until when he reached the setting place of the sun, he found setting in the spring of Amiya, and he found it a people which said, O Dhul-Qarnayn, either pass them or feed them with kindness. He said, as for him who has wrong, he shall punish him, and then he will be brought back in unto his Lord, who will punish him with a terrible torment. But as for him who believes and works righteousness, he shall have the best reward, and he shall speak unto him by words.
Jazakallahu khair. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله كان أهل الكتاب أو المشركون سألوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن قصة ذي القرنين فأمره الله أن يقول سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرى فيه نبأ مفيد وخطاب عجيب أي سأتلو عليكم من أحواله ما يتذكر فيه ويكون ما يتذكر فيه ويكون عبرة وأما ما سوى ذلك من أحواله فلم يتلوه عليهم. The Shaykh Rahimahullah said, the people of the book or the mushrikeen, the polytheists, had requested that the Prophet ﷺ recite upon them some of the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. Now maybe some of you do not know the occasion for Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf began as something along these lines. The polytheists wanted to find out whether the Prophet ﷺ was a true messenger. So they went to they sent two convoys, two ambassadors, to the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. They said, go tell them that we have this man among us who's claiming to be a prophet. How can we verify? They went, the two convoys, I don't remember their names. I do have it actually here, but I'm not going to look for it now. They went to the people of the book and said, you know, we have this man among us claiming to be a messenger and a prophet. Give us some information to verify whether he is honest or not. They told him, okay, ask him three questions. Ask him three questions. If he knows them, then he is truly a prophet from God. If he doesn't know them, he's a liar. You could do to him whatever you want. They said, what are the questions? They said, ask him about some young people who were in the cave and what was their story. And ask him about a man whom Allah gave the mulk, Allah gave the authority and the sovereignty. And he used to travel across the earth. And ask him about the ruh, the soul. They said, that's it. They went back to their people, they said, we have a final solution for this man. They told us such and such and such. If he said, if he knows them, he's a prophet. If he doesn't know them, he's a liar. They went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, tell us about that and that and that, the three things. The soul, the man who was traveling on earth from east to west, and the youth who were in the cave. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come to me tomorrow and I will tell you. But he did not say inshaAllah. And the Prophet and Allah Azza wa Jal did not reveal to him for many days, over 20 days. And the news started spreading among the people. And the Prophet ﷺ became distressed and sad because he told the people, come to me. This is what is going to prove whether he's a prophet or not. And he's getting no revelation to tell the people about these things. So the people started, the rumors started spreading that, oh, Muhammad is not the messenger of Allah. He's not the messenger of Allah because of the news. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, after a number of days have passed, revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam Surah Al-Kahf, this great chapter of the Quran that we read every Friday. Among it, Allah told him, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. And do not say for anything, I shall do something tomorrow. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Unless Allah wills. So Allah told Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and us in return, don't say I'm going to do anything tomorrow. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say inshaAllah, he did not receive revelation. But then Allah Azza wa Jal refuted the Jews and the Christian and the polytheists in this book, in this surah. He gave him news of Dhulqarnain, which was one of the questions. He gave him news of the people of the cave, which was the second question. And in Surah Al-Isra, he answered him about the ruh. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you about the soul, say the soul is from the command of my Lord. And you have only been given a little knowledge. So Allah Azza wa Jal defended Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the news reached, and then these news were in harmony with what the people of the book had. The stories were just like the ones that the people of the book knew. So they knew that he was the Prophet of Allah. But Allah Azza wa Jal is wise, and he works according to his wisdom, not according to the demands of the people. And Allah told us that these people are only trying to put issues and obstacles between them and belief. It's not that they really need these stories. Because Allah told us that there are no one is more oppressive than the one who is reminded about the verses of his Lord. But then he turns away from them and he forgets what he has put forth with his hands. Allah says we have put shields on their hearts and in their ears. Anyways, the bottom line is, the stories were given to the Prophet ﷺ. And you know how the surah begins. Allah warning those who claim that Allah has taken his son, and those disbelievers who try to claim that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is not a messenger because he didn't give him the news on the day that they wanted. But Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the news on the day that Allah wanted and refuted all of them and told us that it is not a matter of signs. The truth is clear. It's people don't want the truth. You know? This is what all the previous disbelievers did with their prophets and the messengers. They would tell him, bring us an angel from the heavens. Huh? Let the earth gush out with water. Let me see you make a river. Challenging signs. Although the Prophet already came with enough information to prove that he's the messenger of God, right? He came with plenty of information, but the disbelievers, they want something according to their mind. No, we don't want that. We want this and we want that. You think Allah's playing games with you? You tell Allah what you want and Allah will give you? Allah gave you enough to believe. If you don't want to believe, then you will start finding excuses not to believe. But you have no excuse. Huh?
What's the one question, these three questions? What's the one question?
These are the Quraysh who were around the Prophet ﷺ. They sent two convoys to the people of the book to tell them, how can we verify whether Muhammad is the messenger? So the people of the book told the convoys from the Quraysh, ask him these three questions. Ahlan wa sahlan. مهم. The Sheikh said the Mushrikeen or the people of the book had asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about the story of ذو القرنين. ذو in Arabic means the possessor of. You say ذو اليدين, ذو القرنين, ذو مال, ذو جاه, meaning the owner of, the possessor of. ذو مال meaning the possessor of money. ذو القرنين is the possessor of the قرنين. We'll see what that is. Anyways, they asked him about the story of ذو القرنين, and Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him that he tell them, I shall recite upon you something, some remembrance of his story, some beneficial news or some amazing information, that I will recite upon you some of his affairs, what will be enough as a reminder, and it will be a good admonition. But as for the rest of the affairs, I will not mention to you. Because Allah says, سَأَتْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Not the whole, he's not going to tell him his whole story, but some of his story. Something beneficial though, that we can take a reminder of. طيب. إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ أي ملكه الله تعالى ومكنه من النفوذ في أقطار الأرض وانقيادهم له. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him authority over the earth. Allah gave him the ownership of the earth. Of course, Allah owns him and everything upon earth. And Allah gave him enough power and authority and strength that things were subdued to him. وَأَتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا أي أعطاه الله من الأسباب الموصلة لما وصل إليه موصلة له لما وصل إليه ما به يستعين على قهر البلدان وسهولة الوصول إلى أقاصي العمران أو العمران. الله عز وجل had given him, Allah had given him the causes. عليكم السلام. Allah had given him the causes and the reasons which will make it easy for him to reach where he wants to reach. Pay attention with me. It will make it easy for him to reach wherever he wanted to reach. Allah gave him the ability to go to travel upon earth in very short time. Through what means, we don't know. It wasn't mentioned. Nonetheless, like you know, with Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the wind. The wind will take him places. So Allah can do whatever he wants to his creation and would allow his creation to have whatever power. This man, Dhul Qarnayn, he was able to travel in such an easy fashion that he will get to any location, anywhere on earth with ease and simplicity. All he wants to do is put in his mind that I want to get somewhere, like right now he's here, and he decides he wants to be in China. Somehow Allah gave him the ability to be in China in no time. You understand? You know, whenever we read the Quran and whenever we mention these stories, this is more truth than any truth. Don't think this is no, you know, stories or fairy tales or something, man. This is the book of Allah. These are from the Quran. So the stories that Allah mentioned in the Quran are real. And this is part of the miracles that Allah gives to His prophets and messengers and perhaps those who come after them in righteousness. So the people will know that they are true worshippers of Allah and not some magicians. So we know this is real. Jesus gave life to the dead. That's no joke, man. How are you going to give life to someone who died? How are you going to bring the soul back after I had left the body? Which is something that we're not familiar with nowadays. Bring it back to the person so he can get up of the grave and speak to the people. But Jesus did this by the will of who? Allah. Allah gave him this authority, this power. Allah does what he wills. So this man, the same way Jesus gave life to the dead and sight to the blind, this man would travel anywhere on earth with extreme ease. How? Allahu A'lam. If it wasn't mentioned, meaning that's not our business. Our business is what do we benefit from this man? A. وعمل بتلك الأسباب التي أعطاه الله إياها أي استعملها على وجهها. ف إيه وين أنا إيه فليس كل من عنده شيء من الأسباب يسلكه ولا كل أحد يكون قادرا على السبب. فإذا اجتمعت القدرة على السبب الحقيقي والعمل به حصل المقصود وأن عدم أو أحدهما لم يحصل. Now this man had something special. And that is that whatever Allah gave him from means of getting places, he utilized them properly. He used them correctly. The Shaykh is making a point out of this. He says, because not everyone is able to bring about the means. Maybe you'll be able to use the machine if it was a machine, but you do not have the means to buy the machine. And maybe you have the machine, but you don't know how to use it. Maybe if you had an airplane, you will know how to travel. You know how to fly it. Tayyib, you have the ability to, but you don't have the airplane. So you cannot get somewhere, right? Maybe you have the airplane, but you don't know how to fly it. Would you be able to fly it? No. So you will not get to your places. So two things are required: having the means and the proper ability to use them. So the Shaykh said, whomever has both, he will be able to fulfill his desires. Whomever lacks one of them or both of them, he will not be able to do so. Is this understood? Jayyid. وهذه الأسباب التي أعطاه الله إياها لم يخبرنا الله ولا رسوله بها. These means that Allah gave him, neither Allah nor His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told us about them. But these means, we don't know what it was. Flying carpet, wind, a wish, maybe he would wish 85. Maybe he would wish to be somewhere and he will get there. Allahu a'lam what it is. But Allah, neither Allah nor His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told us. وَلَمْ تَتَنَاقَلْهَا الْأَخْبَارَ عَلَى وَجْهٍ يُفِيدُ الْعِلْمِ. And no news has reached us in something that is considered to be sound knowledge. فَلِهَذَا لَا يَسَعُنَا غَيْرَ السُّكُوتِ عَنْهَا. الله أكبر. وَعَدَمِ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ لِمَا يَذْكُرُهُ النَّقَلَةُ لِلْإِسْرَائِلِيَّاتِ وَنَحْوِهَا. He says, this is why we have no option but to remain quiet about it. Remain quiet. We don't know what it is. We don't confirm anything. He says, and we do not turn towards that which the Israelites have mentioned. Now what is the Israeliyat? Israeliyat is the stories that the Jews mention, the stories of the Jews regarding incidents that happen. Whether it is, يعني, for example, the Jews in the story of Yusuf عليه السلام, Joseph, they have many stories in the story that they explain with it the events, the detail of the events. Likewise with this particular story. Likewise with Musa and Al-Khidr. With any story you will find there's something called Israeliyat, from the word Israel. Israel is Israel, which is Jacob, right?
No.
Right?
No.
These are his children, his tribe. They would mention stories. Now, this is basically the Old Testament. In other words, this is probably an integrated with the Old Testament. We cannot use it as means of explanation of the Quran, because it is unreliable. Had Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted us to know the means of transportation, it would have been mentioned in the Quran or in a sahih, authentic hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The fact that it wasn't mentioned, we don't want to go to the Israeliyat and try to interpret it according to them, because it may be correct information, it may be correct, and it may be a lie. And then you wind up explaining the truth from Allah with a lie from the Jews, you will get nowhere. So, be mindful of that. وَلَكِنَّنَا نَعْلَمْ بِالْجُمْلَةِ أَنَّهَا أَسْبَابٌ قَوِيَّةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ دَاخِلِيَّةٌ وَخَارِجِيَّةٌ بِهَا صَارَ لَهُ جُنْدٌ عَظِيمٌ ذُو عَدَدٍ وَعُدَدٍ وَنِظَامٍ. He says, but generally speaking, we know that he had some strong means. Very strong means. Inner and outer means. يعني something from within and something from outside forces. Inner forces and outside forces. And that he had plenty of soldiers in numbers and in weaponry. يعني they had large numbers and they had plenty of weapons. And they had order. They were all organized. وَبِهِ تَمَكَّنَ مِنْ قَهْرِ الْأَعْدَاءِ وَمِنْ تَسْهِيلِ الْوُصُولِ إِلَى مَشَارِقِ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا وَأَنْحَائِهَا. With that he was able to subdue his enemies. And Allah facilitated from reaching from the west, from the east of the land into the west. And from one side of the planet, the earth, to the other side. Total opposite side. فأعطاه الله ما بلغ به مغرب الشمس حتى رأى الشمس في مرأى العين. Allah gave him the ability to make it to toward the sunset until he seen the sun setting with his own eye. That's far. He seen the eye, يعني the sun going down like that. Where he was, he seen the sun setting down like that. كما تغرب في عين حمئة أي سوداء, as if it is setting into a black spot. نعم. وهذا المعتاد لمن كان بينه وبين أفق الشمس الغربي ماء رآها تغرب في نفس الماء وإن كانت بغاية الارتفاع ووجد عندها أي مغربها قوما. He says, and usually the people see it go in the water, because usually in the Maghrib there will be the water, so it looks like the sun is actually dipping into the water. He seen it go beyond that, what I understand from the explanation here. Anyways, he found over there a group of people, قوم. Some people. قلنا يا ذا القرنين إما أن تعذب وإما أن تتخذ فيهم حسنا, أي إما أن تعذبهم بقتل أو ضرب أو أسر ونحوه وإما أن تحسن إليهم. They told them, either you punish these people by killing them or beating them or taking them as hostages or whatever else like that, or you treat them kindly. Now he is in authority here. فخير بين الأمرين لأن الظاهر أنهم إما كفار أو فساق. Now why though? He said he was given a choice between two things, and it seems to be apparent that these people were either kuffar, disbelievers, or fasaq, some corrupt people. So basically it's more like they have earned this punishment. Alaykum salam. If they have earned this punishment, it's not like they're being oppressed here. A. أو فيهم شيء من ذلك لأنهم لو كانوا مؤمنين غير فساق لم يرخص له في تعذيبهم, فكان عند ذي القرنين من السياسة الشرعية ما استحق به المدح والثناء لتوفيق الله له بذلك. The Sheikh said the reason why we say that they were either kuffar or some corrupt people, because had they been believers, it would not be permissible to torture them. Right? If they were believers, it will not be okay for Dhul Qarnayn to be given a choice. Either you punish these people or you let them go. You will have no choice because they were believers. But perhaps they were kuffar or some corrupt people who were spreading corruption upon earth. Huh? So they needed someone to remove the oppression from the people. And nowadays in the Western world, they have what they call the prison system for all these people who are causing corruption upon earth. The problem is that these people cause corruption upon earth by raping and stealing and robbing and killing. They put them in prison where they will usually enhance their skills and wind up killing their inmates and raping each other and getting more corrupt, and then they take them back out and they go worse than when they went into the prison the first time. Talking about solutions. Talking about millions of dollars in taxes go to prison so they could feed them every day. Had they applied what Allah revealed from a long time ago, you will have a small number of thieves, a small number of criminals, and a small number of people who would be out there having fun. Because if they knew that if you steal, you're going to say ma'a salama to your hand, you will keep your hand in your pocket and get a job. If you knew that if you kill someone, you will be killed in return, you would back off on killing people like they do in the States. They just drive by in the car, some 17-year-old kids, bang, 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 kills three people, drive home. They go, he's waiting for him at home, he kills him at home. Then his brother kills his cousin, then his cousin kills his sister, then his sister kills his mother, and the whole family just kill each other. This is how people live, wallahi, I'm not exaggerating, man. I was around these people, man. You will think it's almost like a movie. You think the movie is nicer, they make it look nice in the movies. People are totally on vacation, those who don't follow the commandments of Allah. With that said, that what Allah revealed is the most fit thing for His creation, but the people do not understand. So they say, oh, the Muslims are evil, or the Muslims are mean, they kill a person who kills, or they cut the hand of a thief, or they stone the fornicator. Yes, because with that there will be peace among the people, there will be security, and the crimes will be minimum. Only those who are really يعني, corrupt will dare to do that. Otherwise, the whole country becomes a scene of corruption and crime. People in New York cannot go outside comfortably. You cannot walk down the street with a peace of mind. Girls on campus and colleges, they don't know when they're going to be the next to be raped. This is facts. Read them in the news. I'm not bringing them from, this is from American news about America. People don't live a decent life, man. They live troubled and distressed because they put these laws that they invented on their own that are not what Allah revealed. And whomever rules by other than what Allah has revealed, then these are the disbelievers. These are the corrupt people. These are the evil people. Because you're trying to find solutions through man-made laws. And as if you are more intelligent or have more knowledge than Allah. Basically telling Allah, your rules are not good for us. We know what's going on. We will make our own. SubhanAllah. Because of that, there's all this corruption. So anyways, these people must have been corrupt or spreading corruption upon earth for them to be given the for them to be eligible to be punished. Otherwise, no one would touch them. That's what Dhulqarnain was given the choice. Anyways, he said Dhulqarnain he was a political, yeah, he had some wisdom in his the way he conducted himself. He wasn't some foolish man. But he really deserved to be praised for that. And what Allah had given him from intellect and understanding. He said, I will make him two categories, two groups. سَأَجْعَلُهُمْ قِسْمَيْنِ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمْ بِالْكُفْرِ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَى رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا أي تحصل له العقوبتان عقوبة الدنيا وعقوبة الآخرة. He says, ask for the one who is oppressive by disbelief, who was a disbeliever, then verily we will punish him. But then he will be returned to his Lord, where he will be punished even more, in a more disgraced fashion. So he will have two punishments, the one in the world, and the one in the hereafter. This is for those who disbelieve. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنْ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى أي فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةُ وَالْحَالَ الْحُسْنَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَزَاءً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ As for the ones who believed, and did righteous deeds, then verily those will have the excellent reward, which is Jannah, the paradise, which is the excellent reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, as a reward or as a recompense for them on the day of judgment. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا And we shall tell him from their affairs something that is easy and facilitated. أي وَسَنُحْسِنُ إِلَيْهِ وَنَلْطُفُ إِلَيْهِ بِالْقَوْلِ وَنُيَسِّرُ لَهُ الْمُعَامَلَةَ وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَوْنِهِ مِنَ الْمُلُوكِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالْأَوْلِيَاءِ الْعَادِلِينَ الْعَالِمِينَ حَيْثُ وَافَقَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فِي مُعَامَلَةِ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ بِمَا يَلِيقُ بِحَالِهِ He said, and not only that, for the people who believed and did righteous deeds, we will also treat them kindly with goodness in the way we speak to them and in the way we treat them. He said, this is an indication that he was a just ruler. He was a just king. And among those who were close to Allah, who was knowledgeable and fair, because he seeked or he sought the pleasure of Allah in how he dealt with both groups. The ones who disbelieve, then we will treat him a certain way. But the ones who believe, we will treat him another way. They will not, if he was an oppressive ruler, as it is nowadays, no distinction. Everybody gets it. Huh? The good and the bad, everybody gets it. They don't know being the dividing people by default. The Shaykh or the Malik Dhulqarnain was not of that kind. He made a distinction between the good and the bad. And everyone was treated according to his condition. طيب. ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ مطلع الشمس وجدها تطلع على قوم لم نجعل لهم من دونها سترا. This is verse 89. وكذلك وقد أحطنا بما لديه خبرا ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ بين السدين وجد من دونهما قوما لا يكادون يفقهون قولا قلنا يا ذا القرنين قالوا يا ذا القرنين إن يأجوج ومأجوج مفسدون في الأرض فهل نجعل لك خرجا على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا قال ما مكنني فيه ربي خير فأعينوني بقوة أجعل بينكم وبينهم ردما آتوني زبر الحديد حتى إذا ساوى بين الصدفين قال انفخوا حتى إذا جعله نارا قال آتوني أفرغ عليه قطرا فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه وما استطاعوا له نقبا قال هذا رحمة من ربي فإذا جاء وعد ربي جعله دكا وكان وعد ربي حقا وكان وعد ربي حقا.
Someone kindly read verses 89 to 98 in English with a loud, understandable voice.
Then he followed another way.
That's right.
When he came to the rising place of the sun, he found it rising on the people for whom we are loved, as provided no shelter against the sun. So it was, and we knew all about him, the truth of name. Then he followed another way. And then when we reached between the two mountains, he found before near them those two mountains the people who scarcely understood the word. He said, O Dhulkarnain, verily, Yajuj and Majuj go from the home.
Hey! Getting it?
And so in great mischief in the land.
Okay.
As though in great mischief in the land.
Continue, hey, because he was flipping the page.
Shall we yet pay you a tribute in order that you might erect a barrier between us and them?
Yes.
He said, the 12th authority and power in which my Lord has established me is better than the tribute. So help me with the strength of men, I will erect between you and them a barrier.
Hey.
Give me pieces blast of iron. Then when they had filled up the gap between the two mountain cliffs, they said, blow. Then when they had made them with a fire, they said, bring me molten copper to pour over them.
Mm.
So they Yakub in Makub could not scale it or dig through it.
Mm.
Perhaps?
No, one more.
Dhulkarnain said, this is a mercy from my Lord. But when the promise of my Lord comes, he shall level it down to the ground. And the promise of my Lord is ever true.
Barakallahu fiqh. Qala al-Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, ألما وصل إلى مغرب الشمس كر راجعا قاصدا مطلعها متبعا للأسباب التي أعطاه الله فوصل إلى مطلع الشمس. When he had made it to where the sun sets, he backtracked until he waited all the way back to where the sun rises. Now look at this long distance. He made it to where the sun sets, then he backtracked all the way to where the sun rises, which is on the opposite side. Through the means that Allah had given him, which still has a question mark. And we will remain with a question mark. Why? It doesn't matter. How is that going to increase your iman? Whether it was a plane, or a carpet, or the wind. Does that benefit or harm? No. We want to learn the wisdom behind the story. The fact that he was just, the fact that he dealt with people according to what is pleasing to Allah. Things that we benefit from. How he got there? مَا فِي مُشْكِلَةٍ. فَوَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. أي وَجَدَهَا تَطْلُعُ عَلَىٰ أُنَاسٍ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ سِتْرٌ مِنَ الشَّمْسِ إِمَّا لِعَدَمِ اسْتِعْدَادِهِمْ فِي الْمَسَاكِنِ وَذَلِكَ لِزِيَادَةِ هَمَجِيَّتِهِمْ وَتَوَحُّشِهِمْ وَعَدَمْ تَمَدُّنِهِمْ وأما لكون الشمس دائمة عندهم لا تغرب غروبا يذكر كما يوجد ذلك في شرقي أفريقيا الجنوبي. ما شاء الله. شيخ خطير. The Sheikh said that he made it, he found the sun rising upon people who had no shield from the sun. He says either because they were not prepared, their homes, they were not prepared, يعني they did not have the means of protection, was an indication that these people were very uncivilized and very uncivilized and very rough, you know, where they were not civilized enough to build and to protect themselves. They were just living like that. Right, that's why they had no shield from this particular sun. Otherwise, you just put a, you know, put a wall and that's it. He said, or perhaps it is a place where the sun rarely ever sets. Now, there are places on earth, he mentioned, like in East Southern Africa, there are areas over there where the sun almost never sets, except for a very insignificant amount of time. Of course, this is because of the location of the that country on the planet Earth. You know, it differs when you are, if you are near the middle of the Earth or towards, you know, the poles and whatever, the time changes. That's why there are countries where they, when they fast in Ramadan, they fast for long hours because the sun doesn't set. And their prayers have a special kind of prayer. You may be familiar with those. Either way, this may be another interpretation of that. That they are on a place on earth where the sun rarely sets. It's always there. You get it? Look, the sun, and you know how the earth turn rotating, barakallahu fi. There are areas when it's rotating like this, it will take 24 hours for the sun to come back, such as us. There are places where the location, the geographical location, does not really make the rotation too wide. So it's almost always exposed to the sun, except in rare times. You can study this in school, man. I'm not going to give you no...
That's like the North Pole.
Hey, that's like the North Pole. I don't know more than that. المهم فوصل إلى موضع انقطع عنه علم أهل الأرض الله أكبر فضلا عن وصولهم إياه بأبدانهم. So he made it to a place where the people of earth had no knowledge about. Not, they didn't even know this place existed, let alone for them to be able to travel there. Okay, now the earth maybe wasn't discovered as it is today. You have to understand there was no planes and no nothing. You either traveled on a ship or on some animal, that's it. So perhaps at that time, that there were parts of earth that were never discovered yet. He had made it to a place like that, that the people didn't even know it existed, let alone for them to be able to travel there. وَمَعْ هَذَا فَكُلُّ هَذَا بِتَقْدِيرِ اللَّهِ لَهِ وَعِلْمُهُ بِهِ وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَكَذَلِكَ وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا أي أَحَطْنَا بِمَا عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَالْأَسْبَابِ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَعَلِمْنَا مَعْهُ حَيْثُمَا تَوَجَّهَ وَسَارَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal, all this is by the decree of Allah and His knowledge. That's why Allah says that we have encompassed all that which he had of knowledge and about his affair. We knew all about him, meaning Allah had encompassed him from regarding the goodness and the news that he had and the great means that Allah had given him. And Allah was knowledgeable and knew about his affair, in which direction he was traveling and where he was going and what his condition was. And this is the case with him and every one of the creation of Allah. Allah knows everyone's affair 24/7, while you're sleeping, as soon as you wake up, while you're working, while you are with your family, while you are with the people at work. Every statement, every action, every move is by the will and the knowledge of Allah. Nothing escapes. That's why we have shortcomings. That's why our faith is small, is low. Had our faith been strong and we were mindful of Allah 24/7, yani we were always thinking that Allah is watching us, you will be ashamed to sin. You wouldn't dare to sin. You wouldn't dare to hear the muaddin call the adhan and you sit in the dribble in the basketball. I'll pray later. No way. Don't look at anyone. I'm not trying to specify anyone. No way, truly. If you know Allah is watching you, and the salah he has made among the greatest acts of worship after belief, and the virtue of praying in the masjid, and being in early, and a person is dribbling a basketball, there's no way these two meet on the same grounds. There is faith, but it is running on low. Let's admit, each one of us has his own set of problems, inevitably. Sometimes we speak too much, and we say some things that are haram, and we don't remember that Allah is watching us. So what is ihsan? is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. But if you cannot reach this level, then know that Allah sees you. This is the highest level. You have Islam, you do the outwardly acts of worship in Islam. You have Iman, that's the second degree. First you do the acts of Islam until your Iman increases and you believe. Then the third degree is Ihsan, meaning the epitome of goodness. Well, you worship Allah as if you can see Him, but if you cannot, and you know, if you don't reach this level, what is intended by worshiping Allah as if you can see Him? Meaning your heart is looking forward to pleasing Allah. As if you can see Allah, and you want Him to see you, how you are in this good condition. But if you cannot reach this level, you don't make it this high, then at least be mindful of the fact that Allah sees you. So when we know that, if we truly felt this way all the time, we will have a hard time sinning. You will have a hard time sinning. Because every time you want to sin, you remember that Allah is watching you. And you feel shy. That's how the righteous predecessors used to be. They would be shy. Shy from Allah. Embarrassed. To see Allah giving you health, giving you wealth, giving you goodness, giving you Iman, giving you all these things, and then He gives you these body parts that you're supposed to use, and then use this very same thing to disobey Him with it. You'll be ashamed of yourself. But because we are not mindful of Allah, we don't have a problem. Ya Allah, we do. Hey, so Allah musta'an. No, it's a reminder for us. Yani this is what the benefit of reading the Quran. So we can remember, we know this information. Anyone here doesn't know this? Everyone knows this. But now you feel as if you're hearing it for the first time. Right? Because we know something, but we need reminders. And Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So remind, verily the reminder benefits the believers. Even if you know something, it's good to be reminded. Because it will refresh you. You'll feel encouraged to start again. Although you knew it from before. So unless Allah to make us among those who will refresh their condition now and be mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal all the time. As Dhul-Qarnayn was. طيب. ثم أتبع سببا يرحمك الله. Everybody has to say يرحمك الله. It's a wajib, obligation. If a Muslim sneezes, I'm not your excuse.
But for example, he said, "Ya Rabbullah," he did not respond to that.
I don't know him responding to us.
Yes.
Well, from what I know, it's not an obligation. But
the obligation
part is that he said, if he says Alhamdulillah, you say Alhamdulillah. Yeah, but he has to be. We have to hear it. If he doesn't say Alhamdulillah, don't say Yarhamukallah.
Yarham or Arham.
No, Yarhamuka.
Yarhamuka.
You say Arhamuka, meaning you're going to give him mercy.
Yarham.
Yarhamuka is a supplication. May Allah have mercy on you. Yarhamukallah. طيب. أهلاً وسهلاً ومرحباً. ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ بين السدين. قال المفسرون ذهب متوجها من المشرق